Today I want to share with you about the subject of blessing, being a blessed person. Not everybody is. Who is blessed? How do you get blessed? What is that? How do you do that? Talk back to me. Yeah. Hey, you know how it starts? Getting saved. If you're saved, right? Stay standing for a while, because you know, if I'm going to have to stand, you are too. Okay, Ephesians 1:3, read it out loud with me. Ready? Here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Wow. Mm-hmm. How do you get blessed? Believing in Christ, and you have all spiritual blessings in Him. But I have to ask a question. If I am blessed, is it possible for me not to be living in my blessings? How else could I live? In the flesh. Negativity. Nikki, you come up and preach the message. Negativity. I mean, yeah. In my flesh, right? In that, where's my blessing? If I listen to everything that I hear out on the street, it might affect me. Has that ever happened to you? Yep. That you're with the wrong group, maybe? You end up in trouble, huh? Okay, let's not, hey, I came to church, I want to have a good time, right? Let's not, hey. I have my blessing, and I want to live in it. I want to experience it. I want to know what it is, actually. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to explain to you what it is. There are some people that don't live in it, and then how you can live in it and be a blessed person. Do you want to be a blessed person? Yes. All right, turn to your neighbor and just talk about it for a minute. I want to be a blessed person. Help me out. Talk to me. Help me out. I want to be a blessed person. Praise the Lord. I do. I want it. I want to be a blessed person. Okay. I do. I want it. Oliver, you got it? Come on. I need some amens today. Okay. Come on. Okay. You may be seated. Turn prayer first. Father, we need your help to give this word, that it would be your word, not mine, be your word that we feed from, your word that will touch us, affect us deep in our hearts, that we would leave here today saying, I got it, I got something, I got a piece. I got a piece of the heavenly pie. I got a slice of bread, I got it. I got something to chew on. I need it, and I want it, and I got it. Thank you, Lord. Please do that for your church's sake, for Jesus' sake. We will see you one day, face to face. And we'll not be ashamed in that hour, because you have decided in your own mind and heart to bless us and make us like yourself. At the Bema Seat, there will be shame at the Bema Seat judgment, but not after. But we will stand before you with exceedingly great joy one day. Teach us now. Amen. Turn to the prophet Jonah, please. I want to show you verse there that may help us as we start our message today. How many of you know the prophet Jonah? How many of you know the book Jonah? Kind of, you know it? The prophet Jonah, the book of Jonah, okay? Very fascinating book. Very unique in many ways. Was Jonah a prophet? Did he speak from God? Was he used from God? Used by God? Okay, yes. Did he run away from the calling of God? Yes, he went, he was going to Tarshish, which most scholars of ancient geography believed that it was Spain. So he could go down to Joppa to catch the boat, and he could go to furthest part of the Mediterranean Sea, Spain, when he was actually to go about 500 miles north, northeast to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were ruthless, merciless, powerful people, pagan people, that hated the Jewish people. And they would torture them. When they attacked Israel, they were known to be ruthless and barbaric. God, in his own ways that are beyond our ways, sent a prophet, Jonah, to preach. He didn't want to go. And that's how the story goes. He ends up going because of the way of God leading and getting him there, but he didn't really want to be there, nor did he really want to preach, but he did. And the people repented. When they repented, and God gave mercy to them, not judging them, but they repented as a nation, the king and the people. They fasted and they sat in sackcloth and for 3 days. And God looked at that and he repented of his judgment on the people. And Jonah is angry about it. And this is the part I want you to see. Jonah chapter 4. In verse 1. Well, maybe 3:10 would be the best part to start there. God saw their works, chapter 3, verse 10, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. He repented of the evil. He did not bring the judgment, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Verse 1. And I read that last night in my study and my meditation. It caught me. It got my interest. Because I could imagine a man of God being unhappy with God's ways, being unhappy with what God is doing, not understanding what God is doing. And I made a little diagram in my notebook, and I thought of it this way, because you know how I like these little pictures. Here's me, or Jonah, and my understanding. This area represents my maturity, my understanding of God, my world. Many of us, our world is very small. It's based on our desires, our feelings, our relationships, our experiences, and our judgments, our opinions. And many of us are filled with ourselves, and our world is this way. God, judge the Assyrians, Lord. Judge them. I was going to, and I sent you, Jonah, but I see they have repented, so I'm not going to do that. Jonah is exceedingly unhappy about that in verse 1. He was very angry. That's a word that got my attention also, anger. And as a pastor, I do some counseling, and through the years have found that anger is a big problem in family life. We get angry with our spouses, our children, our jobs, our homes. We get angry in life very easily sometimes. But Jonah is a prophet. But Jonah is a friend of God. But Jonah has seen the hand of God. Jonah was in a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And he survives it. And he is sent to preach. And God uses him. It would seem to me that his world would be a lot bigger than this world that he is actually living in. I want to ask you, if you were close with God, if you walked with God and the same thing happened in your life, how would you think? Would you be angry? If the people repented, if you were effective, if God had saved you from a fish, would you be angry? Or what would your life look like? I think it's based on a principle, and it's faith and imagination. I like this word, imagination, in regards to our faith. There's 2 parts to our message, this part, and then we'll go to what we want to say. But imagination. Could you walk on water? Not without some faith and imagination. Could you feed 5,000 hungry people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Not without some faith and imagination. Could God forgive the Ninevites? Yes, he can. And I need to get with God's program and have some faith and some imagination. Who is he, God, and who is he in my life? That's what we want to talk about today. That blessing is when actually my life takes on something more than me. That's a good word. Blessing is when I find something more than me and my world. So it goes this way. God says to me, as I stand on the edge of my world, he says, jump. It's kind of like an edge. And he says, jump, I'll catch you. Whoa, wait a minute, what? Whoa, I could fall. I could get hurt. It's a long ways down. And God is saying, it's your call. It's up to you. If you want to stay in your world, then you can. But I guarantee you, you're going to be angry again. And again, and frustrated, and your life is going to be, you're going to be more careful about your life than you are knowing and believing and seeing my blessing. So he goes, jump, I will catch you. I go, are you God? I am God. Trust me. Look at me. Trust in me. Look at who I am and trust in me. So he jumps, and this is what happens. He's put up here. You set me on a rock higher than myself. You have blessed me. I see you. I see your nature. I'm not saying that you have more money or you look better or you are healthier. I'm saying you are blessed. This is the nature of life, is to know our blessing. That's why we are on the earth, to know God as an almighty, great God of grace that shows us who we are and expands our world into understanding and believing his nature. But I'm afraid to say that we do reduce our life by this emotion. There's a couple of illustrations. One of them is the emotion of anger. Why anger? Because I think anger is connected with control. When it's not my way, I'll remove somebody and do it with anger. When it's not my way, I will express this emotion out of frustration. We use anger to manipulate people. When we blow up, then everybody gets the signal, like, stay away from me. And that's how I control my world. I learn how to do this. Children do it. Adolescents, adults do it. In marriages, it's used as a tool. Jonah was angry, and he said something very doctrinal. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? He was saying, I knew you were going to do this. You're going to forgive those people. I was going to go there and preach, and you're going to forgive them. And didn't I tell you that when I was back in my home country? Because I know who you are. Look at what he says. He says, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Wait a minute, I don't get it. I knew you were merciful and gracious, and that's why I didn't want to go there. Because I knew you would forgive those communists. Put in there any label you want to. The people that you think they don't deserve God's grace and mercy, those atheists, I knew that you would forgive them and have mercy on them. So I didn't want to go there. Well, wait a minute, Jonah, your world is small. Why? Why don't you get with God and know who God is and have the heart of God, the spirit of God, the mind of God? Why do you have such a small mind? Like you are hanging out on the street too much. You're listening to what's said in the barber shop, on the newspaper, and the news, or on the iPhone, or whatever it is. You are getting counsel. I'm not saying that literally. I'm just bringing an application. There are many believers that need to get a hold of what we're trying to say here today. Because it's good. Eventually, we're going to get to it. But we're getting there. You're following it with me, I think. Okay. I knew that you would do this. I knew that you would have mercy. I knew you would forgive him. I knew you would give our patio furniture away. I knew that you would give it. I knew you would give that car up. I knew you would be gracious and kind. I knew that you would do that. I knew that you would give the money away. I knew that you would be treating. I knew that this would be happening. Isn't that interesting? Okay, maybe we're done with that. I like the verse 3 and 4, however, we got to finish. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. Take my life. But it is better for me to die than to live. Now, look at this. This guy is living here. He's okay. I'm not going to get my way. Then I want to die. I want to die. Take my life. It's like Jonah's a prophet. Why is he behaving like a child? Jonah is a prophet. He's a believer. Hasn't God done a lot for him? Why is he behaving like a child? How come? Huh? He's not living in his blessing. He doesn't know what it is that it is. When we walk with God in faith, we get to see and understand a bigger world, more of the promises, the Spirit, the nature of God, more of his generosity, more of his giving. It's the same with tithing, by the way. I think that people don't believe in tithing. They don't want to bring their money to the edge and say to God, God, this is your money. And God says, jump. Come on, jump. And I jump. And I get up here and I realize what money is. Money is not mine. Money is God's money. And I get to use it every day. It comes and goes all the time. And money is a tool that's used by God, but it's not mine. But I get to see what money is. But back in the old school, back where I came from, and all of us probably, my money is mine. And my world is mine. And my emotions and my mindset and my opinion and my world is small. But be careful, because one day you're going to be so selfish that one day you're going to say, take my life. If you're not going to do it my way, then take my life. Take my life. If I'm not going to get what I want, then I'm done. I'm finished. Take my life. That's the spirit of the flesh and of the way of man. That's how it goes. I remember this lady wanted her fiancé, they were engaged. No, they were boyfriend, girlfriend. She wanted him to ask him to marry her. And she was just desperate. She was just desperate. And just pulling out all kinds of tools out of the bag to get this thing done. And it came down to like manipulation. And it was, you know, if you don't ask me, then I'm going to jump. Like, really? Like, you're going to die? Yes, if you don't ask me to marry you, then I'm going to jump off the cliff. Okay? And he's like thinking, oh, wow, do I want to marry a woman that's manipulating me? And does God want to hear his prophets say, I want to die? Doesn't God want to hear us say, I want to live with you and be like you, and I want to grow, and I want to see who you are, and I want to experience that, and I want my life to be blessed by you. I want Almighty God to be blessing my life. Two people have a business, two businesses, both collapse, but one man is blessed of God. Two families, both a disaster, but one family, the head of the family, is blessed of God. What is blessing? It's not necessarily what I have or what I don't have, it's where am I living? What am I believing? What is God doing? Who is God? you see. Okay, let's go to part two, Psalm 1, please. Years ago, Dr. Stevens preached this message on Psalm 1, and I took it to the bank seriously. When I heard that message, I just believed what he said about it was the key for my life. I was 19 or 20 years old, but I started to believe in what this psalm was teaching. And I started meditating on the Bible and reading the Bible. I would do it in the morning and the evening, at noontime, during my lunch break. I would do it all the time. I started to read the Bible and meditate on the Bible because of this psalm. And because it said, blessed is the man. I would like to pass that on to everybody in the church all the time, that you and I are blessed people. But there are certain things here that need to be defined in order for us not only to know I am blessed, yes, but I want to walk in it. Jonah did not. Jonah wanted to die. A blessed man says, I want to live 1,000 lives. I am blessed. I love life. God is with me in my life. It can be hard and painful, no question. But when you are a blessed person, you find what that is, and you enjoy it, receive, and benefit from what that is. Blessed, verse 1. I don't want it to be too long. I we're not in a super big hurry here, but I think it's simple, but I just want to hit it hard here. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed. I don't know how to say it. Blessed. I don't know. You're just blessed. Everything else is messed up, but you're blessed. I don't know. I mean, you're blessed. It's just a blessing. You're a blessed person. Well, how did you, what happened? I trusted, but I had to stay away from three things, and I had to do one thing. Look at the three. It says, blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel of the ungodly is everywhere. It's in the world. Hollywood movies packed, loaded with the counsel of the ungodly. Going after women, going after things in life, going to a strip club, going to a bar room, going to a church, but you're not serious about it. Hypocrisy, making jokes about things that are unclean and filthy, hanging out with people and getting counsel, and they tell you to do all kinds of things. Beware of that. I remember I read Spurgeon said he was walking down the street and this blasphemy came to his mind, like this blasphemy regarding God, and it just showered him. It washed all over him, this blasphemy, and he just said, that is horrible. Those thoughts are horrible. And he said in his piece, I made a mark in the book because I wanted to read it to you one day. I'll do it one day. But it was very instructive. And he said, the devil so sends projections to our minds, but they also go from people too. And people give ungodly counsel to us, and we follow it. We believe it. Birds of a feather flock together. There are people that talk about this subject all the time. I end up talking about that subject also all the time. And I become like them. I'm not changed by a transformed mind or renewed in my spirit. But instead, I walk with the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, stand in the way of sinners. I'm hanging out with them. Remember in high school, there were always certain guys going outside in the snow, out the back door, and smoking a cigarette by the dumpster. And it was the same guys all the time. And they were soaking wet when they were done with their cigarette, with the snow and everything, wearing a t-shirt. They never got sick. And I was always catching a cold. But they're out there smoking cigarettes, soaking wet. And they were talking, I'm sure. And when you stand in the way, when you live with these people, then you become like them. But I want a blessing, so I want to be different. We are different. We it doesn't fit anymore to be in the world. We don't fit here. It's like those big birds up in South America. They fly for 1 month, the condors. They can be up in the air for a month. And when they land, they tumble and they break their legs sometimes. And they have a terrible time on the earth, but they have a beautiful time up there. It's kind of like the Christian who is living here. And it's kind of awkward, and because we don't have the same values. We don't have the same words. We don't have the same way of thinking as the world does. And so number three, they are scorners. I looked up that word this morning. A scorner, Noah Webster's. A scoffer. A derider in Scripture, one who scoffs at religion, mocks sin and judgments and threatenings of God, contemptuous, disdainful, insolent, with extreme contempt. Oh, what, you believe in tithing? What are you, out of your mind? The church just wants your money. Really? Yes. Yes, I'm affected by the people that laugh at us in our ways. What are you, homophobic? You know, they have their strategy, their arrows, accusations against you and me. What, you're going to church again? What, all you do is go to conferences and sit around and talk about what? About God? If we sit in the seat of the scornful and join them, then our world is small. Like Jonah's world was small because of his emotions. And this man, his world will be small because of his intimidation, because of everything he's listening to, and he's afraid of people. He doesn't have any authority in his life. His world is a Christian world, but he's kind of afraid. He's like defensive. He doesn't have much. He has his religion and his belief, but we are saying, come on. God says, jump, I will catch you, and you will see. You see, when Jesus was here and he saw, then he had authority. Because you have authority based on what you know, feel, experience, understand. I know what the world says about us. It doesn't bother me. I've been in communist countries, and I've studied things, and I understand what people say about us as believers. But there's one thing they cannot do with me and you, I hope. And it is, I am seeking Him. I'm not perfect. I don't know much. I don't know what's going on, but I know I can trust Him. I've got my Bible and I read my Bible, but I need more than the Bible. I need Him. And if I got Him, He's going to set me up, help me enlarge, enlarge our mind and our hearts, and we will be blessed. How does it happen? Joseph is in prison, but the dream, he goes, wait a minute, I got it. Where'd that aha moment come from? Wait a minute, the butler had a dream. The baker had a dream. Hold it, wait. I got it. I know what it is. What about that moment that happened? Where'd that come from? God blessed Joseph. And Joseph said, I got it. Then he said to the butler, when you get out of here, remember me. So Joseph knows the baker's going to die, the butler's going to live, and the butler's going to tell Pharaoh, and remember me. But it says the butler forgot. Just like many butlers, they forgot. Again, he forgot. But that cannot change my blessing. A man forgets, I'm blessed. And my boss does not give me a pay raise, I am a blessed man. My wife leaves me, unfortunately, I'm sorry about it. I did everything I possibly could, but it cannot change my blessing. If I'm living by faith in Jesus Christ, then we grow from faith to faith. Romans 1:17. And from glory to glory in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we are increasing with Him. Seven times it says that we increase in our New Testament. Last part says this. This is the one thing you and I better, we got to do this. You got to learn this, please. This is it. Here it is. There's the three things we do not do. And the one thing we do is verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's got His heart in the book. He's reading it 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 in the morning, whenever it is. He goes through 10 chapters. Does it for 1 year. He goes back for another year. He goes back another year. And he's just got, and God is speaking to him and leading him in the book. He delights in the law of the Lord. He goes to the church not just once a week. He goes whenever he possibly can. Because he's got some time and concentration. And he's learning how to get wisdom. And he's growing in his faith. And when Assyrians have been repented and God has given them grace, I'm with God saying, God, good job. They repented. You're going to deal with the whole thing. That's your business. And I worship you. Look at this little piece here. Were, and then two letters, and then were, and one letter, two letters, three letters, four letters. Worry or worship. If you worry, you are not worshiping. If you worship, you will not worry. And you know, when we are blessed people, we become worshipers. Don't get so troubled and heavy by the details of your life. Don't get caught in a small world. Be a worshiper. Bring it to God. Cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. Don't concentrate over and over, day and night, round and round about the Assyrian problem. Lift up your eyes and worship the God that gave them grace and go on in your way. And learn to be gracious. Learn to be forgiving and meditate on the word. It says here, verse 2, meditate day and night. Meditate. Read it. Think about it. Talk about it. Meditate on it. Come to church. Listen to it. You got your own Bible. Write it down. And, you know, there's so many distractions against you and I today. Regarding our minds. Our minds are filled with distraction. Our hearts are easily distracted. Our minds are occupied with all kinds of moving things. But learn to concentrate and be fixed in your memory, in your heart, in your imagination, and build up yourself in the faith, and you will be a blessed person. You are not a blessed person if you're going to strip clubs and casinos and cheating and lying. Are you a believer? I don't know. That's between you and God. God knows that. I want to reassure people that are believers that they are believers and that we are. But if we are, then why would we waste our life with foolish things and not have spiritual conviction about how to live my life, how to think, what to love, what to embrace, and just bring it out in the light and put it before God, and God will take care of it and he will teach me. And I believe in tithing. It's a principle from God. It really works. There's a blessing in it. Just like everything God says in the Bible. When I bring it before God, he teaches me there is a blessing. Why are you blessed? Because I try to stay away from those three things, and I'm actively doing that one thing. Then you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth its fruit in his season. Long seasons, no fruit. But then, wow, his fruit came in October. There was no fruit in February, but the fruit came in October. Well, it took 3 years, and then the fruit came in his season. But it came, the fruit came in its season, the fruit came in your life, it's coming, the fruit is there, you are a blessed man, a blessed woman, the fruit is there, the fruit is coming, it's for sure, and the leaf shall not wither. There's leaves on it, where's the fruit? The fruit's not there yet. Filled with green leaves, and they are not withering. Where is the fruit? I don't know where it is, but it is coming in its season. I don't know when it'll happen. I don't know what year. I don't know what age in life, but I know there's fruit there because you are a blessed man. You are blessed of God. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, could it get any better? Is that a recipe for success or what? And whatever he does shall prosper. Wow. Whatever he does shall prosper. I got to finish. One man said to me, how do you do it? I go, what do you mean? He goes, in Hungary, when I see all that you folks are doing, everything you are doing, it's just like it just happens easily. It's just a success. Everything that we were doing over there in those great years when we were doing it. And I go, I don't know, just God's blessing. That's all. How do you do it? I don't know. Nobody could ever do what it is that you and I and what the ministry is doing around the world. There's no human way, no human explanation. Nobody has done this. God has done it because we are blessed of God. And you know, if you live in your small world, you can have it. Go ahead, take it. It's yours. Jonah, go ahead. The book of Jonah doesn't end with any resolution. It just ends, almost leaving us hanging. Who do I want to be? A miserable guy, a little miserable prophet like Jonah, and no resolution. Where do I want to be? Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Seated in the church, hid with Christ in God, with a divine blessing on my life. That's what we want, and that is what we've got. Amen. I really pray that this is, I know this is awesome, and I pray that it will help us. Yes, amen. Absolutely. Take it home with us. Father, we do pray that this we could take this home and live with this new way. Careful of who our friends are, what we're talking about, what we think, how we are thinking. That's between you and God. There's nobody policing it, but there's one definite sure. If we listen to all the garbage that is out there and tearing down Christians and tearing down God and the Bible and everything that is said, we'll get intimidated and we'll withdraw. We'll protect ourselves. We'll hide like a turtle in his shell. But if we follow on to know you, we will do great exploits. We will have a word in season. We'll have love in our hearts. We'll care about the unbeliever. We'll have a word in season. We'll be a blessed person. We'll have a message. We'll interpret a dream. We'll pray for a miracle. We'll believe in the living God. We'll walk by faith in him and know the difference. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone listening to my voice, come to Jesus, please, today. If you're not a believer yet, do it today. Please say yes to him. He will forgive you. He will care for you. He washes your sins away. All of them. All of them. Yes, the worst ones. The ugly ones. The ones that you are ashamed and embarrassed. The ones that take us away from God. Come to Jesus. You don't feel like it. You don't have the courage to do it. You can't. You don't know how. Just say in your heart to God, I believe. Teach me and lead me. You are my heavenly Father. And I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.